So, wir öffnen jetzt die Diskussion. Herr LaRouche nimmt Fragen entgegen, gerne, und zahlreiche, möglichst viele Fragen. Die Fragen sollten relativ kurz gehalten werden, desto mehr Fragen können wir annehmen. Ich bin nur hier, um zu helfen beim Übersetzen. Falls jemand auf Deutsch fragt, werde ich es auf Englisch übersetzen. So, Lynn, we will begin with the questions. I hope there are many to you.
Hi, Lynn. This is Liliana from Milan.
Yes, good.
I have a brief question, which is both from me and from a number of parliamentarians I met a few days ago in Milan. One of them is a friend of yours, and I'm sure you know who that is, and he greets you. They are planning to introduce the Glass-Steagall legislation also in the Chamber of Deputies, at a very high level, besides the one already introduced by Senator Peterlini in the Senate. And they were wondering, during the discussion we had, as you already mentioned in your speech right now, if in the United States this has been stopped by the sabotage of Obama in Congress and has not been introduced at the Senate, would such a legislation in Europe help? And would it ignite a discussion which relaunches the Glass-Steagall legislation also in the United States? Thank you.
It would have a very positive effect on the United States because you have a virtual dictatorship, a reign of terror over the members of Congress, political parties, and so forth in the United States. The courage being shown currently, as you may know, is coming from the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And it's only the action of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, the military Joint Chiefs of Staff, which has blocked the launching of a general cascade of war which would lead to a thermonuclear world war at this time. So that anything done from Europe which goes in the direction of necessary alternatives to the insanity being run through the Senate and other bodies under the Obama administration may be crucial. For example, take the case of what Russia and China are doing. Russia, China, and some other countries are actually the last ditch of defense for the world against a thermonuclear launch. And let's be clear on what this is. The first act of war, of crucial real war, will occur as a launch of submarine-based and other thermonuclear weapons in a full blast against Russia, China, and other nations, especially in the Asian regions. There would then, of course, there would be an automatic response to such a launch from Russia and China, which are both thermonuclear powers. That would mean there would be very little left of civilization on this planet for a long time to come, if ever. So what we're in is a situation of madness. Madness in controlling the United States, but through the British Empire. And your big problem here is the British. In Europe, as you know, the situation is temporized in some respects by the overall economic situation. Europe is, as you know, is in a process of economic disintegration. It's past the point that this thing was planned to be resolved. And therefore, there isn't much left of civilization unless some of us in various parts of the world can unify, support those typified by General Dempsey in the United States, Chiefs of Staff, who are now the blocking point and have been the only serious blocking point against the actual launching of a civil war, which would be a thermonuclear war, which would start probably with an Israeli attack on Iran, a further attack on Syria. These things would merely be pretexts to set off a general thermonuclear war, which would probably obliterate much of the population and the territory of this planet. The reason that this condition can exist is, as you know, in Europe, the power of the European nations has been broken to a large degree. The United States is now capitulating more and more in its government circles, capitulating to the terror run from Britain into the United States through the Obama administration. We are on the verge of an actual threat of a general thermonuclear, not nuclear, but thermonuclear war. The capabilities exist and the intention exists to deploy them. So that anything that comes from Italy, for example, in a significant level, or anything in Europe, breaks the pattern of the capitulation in the transatlantic region to the British Obama coalition.
What is the purpose of life if we do achieve everything that we're fighting for and humanity does get out to space? Do we just keep on developing for all eternity?
We're going through a new phase. If you look at some of the reports we produce here in the United States from the basement, from the science driver basement, it could probably now to reach Mars, for example, would require probably two decades of work. The principles on which this would be based already exist. The planning stage for a launch of travel from Earth to Mars within a lapse time of 1 week is now a physical principle. It is not yet an adequately developed principle. But it would be a thermonuclear propulsion system, which would take us from Earth orbit to Mars orbit in about a single week. We are, at the same time, this is not just an exploration of space. The fact is that we're getting into a more dangerous part of the galaxy for the solar system, which means that we are already receiving problems, galactic problems, which are unprecedented in any time since human beings existed about 7 million years ago here. In other words, in the whole history of the galaxy, the solar system has never been in this kind of condition during the 7 million years that mankind has existed on this planet. So therefore, we have also, as Russia has emphasized on his part, that the danger from large rocks, such as asteroid Brahmas, hitting Earth now is an increasing probability, as well as other galactic and related conditions. Therefore, as the Russian government has proposed, there should be a cooperative agreement between East and West, essentially the United States, Eurasia, so forth, on the defense of Earth, means for the defense of Earth of various kinds of catastrophes which are to be expected as a kind of new kind of weather system for mankind to experience now. So that there also are other deeper implications of this, but those are the most essential ones up front. We're now at a point where we need to have this kind of development, which will be the greatest stimulant, actually, at the same time, for the economic development of mankind. So we're on the verge of a crisis of this type. We're also on the verge of a corresponding opportunity if we mobilize ourselves to take other actions which are necessary at this time for the defense of human life on this planet and for the advancement of human life in the solar system generally.
Dalin. We have a question here from a former Iranian diplomat. A question from a former Iranian diplomat. He asks you the following. Mr. LaRouche, you once said in an address that President Ahmadinejad acts without knowing it like a British agent. My question is, how does that function? How can one be a British agent unconsciously?
By being foolish enough to believe you are doing something when you're actually walking into a prepared trap. You're an unwitting agent. You decide to do something and you think that your ego entitles you to try to do it. You fail to recognize that what you're walking into is a great trap. But sometimes people's egos, and often in history, foolish people with big egos think they intend to do one thing and their actions result in their accomplishing exactly the opposite. And that's the case. I don't think the problem of Ahmadinejad today is that it's a crucial problem. The point is everybody intends to bomb Iran, whatever the politics in Iran are. The fate of Iran today depends largely positively on Russia and China and also India, which wish to prevent this kind of nonsense. The intention to cause such a problem is no longer required anything from Iran. It's already there from Britain and from the present presidency of the United States.
Okay, hello, hi, Lynn. I have two questions. The first one is, you had recently mentioned again the lack of political commitment, especially in the youth generation, and we have a lot of young people here, so yeah, I wanted to ask you if you could go into this again, because I think this has to be discussed again and again. That's the first question, and the second one is coming from someone else who's right now not able to ask the question, and I just read it. You said repeatedly that to stop World War III, we need to get rid the U.S. From President Obama. My question is, are the generals opposing the war clear on the Obama danger, and are they ready to call for his impeachment?
Well, I don't know about the impeachment, but I think the implication is it would lead in the direction of an impeachment. The main thing they are trying to do, is a defensive action to prevent the world from going into this world war. These American generals and others around them are committed to this goal. In that sense, they're committed to an alliance of nations, which includes China, which includes now India. India is opposed to this nonsense. It is not an ally of Russia and so forth and China in this point. But they sense the absolute insanity of any attack now on Syria, Iran, and so forth, because those attacks now are a continuation of what was done to Libya earlier under this president and his British controllers. So under these conditions, we are headed right now into that kind of war. On the one side, we have the majority, really the traditional majority in Israel, wants no part of any attack of this type on Iran at this time. Only British agents, like the present leader of Israel, British agents as such, not Israeli patriots, but British agents are doing this under British direction. And they could, if they could, get this started, it might set off a thermonuclear world war. So the problem here is, yes, you have people around the world who are not saying about taking countermeasures, they're simply saying this confrontation must not be allowed to happen. That's what's being said. You see, Dempsey, who's the chief spokesman for the U.S. military, is standing up. But because he stood up, you have all the clowns in the United States who are for the war or are foolish enough to support it are actually asking for his elimination. Dempsey typifies the last official block against the occurrence of World War III. And that's what the situation is. So their people, therefore, are not proposing to go to war against the United States and Britain over this issue. They are simply taking the position, number one, that it should not be allowed to happen. We will not cooperate in such a war. On the second thing, the question is, what are you going to do to stop it? And the essential intent for this war is coming out of the United Kingdom, out of the British monarchy. It is not coming out of the United States or other places. Nobody on this planet with any brains wants such a war, except the British and Obama and people like that in the United States. So that Russia has been very clear on this repeatedly. China's been clear. India has most recently made itself clear vocally on this question. And I don't think anybody in Western and Central Europe, continental Europe, wants it. This might be the end of the human species. But when you get fanatics are loose, I mean, just ask yourself, do you know what a thermonuclear mass assault is? Do you know the amount of thermonuclear power that would be instituted even from the U.S. submarine fleet as an initial launch? Do you realize what that would unleash automatically from China and Russia in response to the signs of such a launch? Do you imagine how much of Europe would exist under those conditions? How much of the United States would exist under those conditions? What the concern is now is not to go to war and see who could win the war. The concern now is who is going to save the human species from an extinction threat being launched at British initiative with complete fanatical support from the current president of the United States. That's the issue. There's nothing else as important as that. There's nothing else as significant as that. And all the sane people around the world are agreeing on one thing. This must not happen. But you have a few people who are determined that it shall. And the United States, with British alliance, has probably the greatest thermonuclear kill potential in the planet. And what would be intended was a full launch of that capability. This is not nuclear warfare. This is thermonuclear warfare. It is not thermonuclear war incidents. It's a consistent world war. And with thermonuclear weapons, if you're going to launch them, you launch them all. Because you're not going to get a second chance. That's the way we have to look at this thing. This British U.S. policy behind the whole scheme in Libya, the whole Libyan thing is nothing but was nothing that. There's no problem. There's no rational problem in that part of the world. Nothing important. It's a fake. There's no threat from Iran. There's no threat from Syria. There are no atrocities in Syria compared to those that are being created by the people who are trying to stir it up. It's all a part of this pattern. And you see the mass insanity on this planet from governments and others. It's astonishing. You see how serious the thing is. How insane it is. And I could say a lot more on it, but that's the essential way I look at this. It's what I know. It is what leading circles in the world know. Right now, Dempsey has been the leading bloc against the launching of thermonuclear war on this planet.
Okay. Hello, Mr. LaRouche. It's Sergey. I have a very simple question. About this madness. What do you think if these people who want to start this war, are they really mad? They have some hope to survive after this conflict? What do you think?
What their major intention is the following. This is typical of warfare, of general warfare in history. But most people have not been studying this thing for a long time. And the last generation which really understood this kind of warfare was my own generation. And there are very few of us left. So the younger generations in the world do not generally are not really prepared to understand this problem. Only generally older people, people of a generation, one generation younger than I am, are the last people who would tend to understand this kind of threat and how this kind of mass insanity came into being. For example, I'll give you an example. Let's take the case, it's comparable and it's relevant. Let's take the case of the Green Movement. Next to the thermonuclear war, the Green Movement is the greatest immediate threat to human life on this planet today. And yet this is being spread. The scientific proof of that is clear. There is no competent scientific disproof of that. The intention to reduce the human population by green methods would result in putting the human species in a situation like those of the dinosaurs and like the other species, living species, which went extinct because their behavior involved this kind of behavior that's proposed as the Green Movement. It's the Green Movement mentality which prevents people from understanding what the nature and solution for the major threat is. Our major problem on this planet of a positive type is to restore high technology investment, to go back to beyond what we've known heretofore, to reverse, to end the Green Movement, and to cure the planet of the Green Movement. Because if the thermonuclear war doesn't kill us and cause an extinction of the human species, the Green Movement today is doing that, a bit more slowly, but just as certainly. So the question is, you've got to look at the mentality of people in government, people in leading circles, and you examine their minds and say, how could they come up with a Green Movement? How could they come up with thermonuclear war? It's the same kind of mentality of saying, we are going to have our way or we're going to kill you. And that's what the Green Movement is. We're going to have our way or we're going to kill you. Thermonuclear war, let us have our way or we'll kill you. And that's where the problem lies. We have very few people on this planet who have a capability to understand the lessons of history in these matters. Two generations or three generations since World War II, people have gradually, step by step, lost their understanding of what the meaning of general warfare is and general destruction is. We have a younger generation which is now in charge. They don't think in terms of these terms. They don't believe in the lessons of history. And therefore, out of their kind of stupidity, their cultural stupidity, they refuse to understand that the kind of toys they want to play with can cause the extinction of the human species or something approaching that.
So, Lynn, unfortunately, we have to close the discussion period. We have a very dense timetable, a highly powered science panel. All of that has to be gone through, so that's it for the time being. Okay, thank you a lot.
I would like to ask one question.
Thank you.
So I hope, Lynn, that you can stay with us for some while. We are now going to continue with three speeches by Bruce Director, the member of the board of the U.S. Schiller Institute, by Professor Sergei Pulinets from the Institute of Applied Geophysics and Moscow Center of Ionosphere Monitoring, and by Sky Shields from the LaRouche Basement Team. So please come up here to the podium.